Well, greetings, dear ones, and happy Sabbath to you all. Happy Sabbath to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and appreciate you choosing to join with us in opening the Sabbath on this wonderful and beautiful Friday evening, the 6th of May, 2016. Praise God that the server is fixed on iVocalize website. That was the problem for us last Sabbath. Their particular hardware for their server failed, and they had to replace it, and that took them the rest of the day on Sabbath. But praise God, it's all repaired, and there is nothing wrong with any of your computers. And we're able to come back and worship our God, united in heart and in truth. So welcome, dear ones. Our opening song is titled Redeemed. And you can find this in the home church section under music, under hymns on our website. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me. And soon with the saints made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Amen. Well, it's now time for opening prayer, and our dear brother Josh will offer that for us.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts and share our blessings with Him. Our Father, I thank You for us being able to have this and security. I thank You for us being able to live this and this morning. I thank You for us being able to have another blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins and our iniquities and our Christ-like spirits. We must be able to always come to you whenever our troubles are getting hard. Forgive us if we die from your sight without even knowing. We must be also helping one another, loving one another. Be with us as we learn the end of the start and we yet learn and more things that need to be known. Bless us, save child mercies if you have other prayers to be beautiful for them in all the other parts of the earth. We thank you for the things that you've given us, the shelter, the food, and also the blessings also. Bless you to always be showing each other mercy and compassion. Let us always walk with you throughout all the days of our lives. Let us avoid all the temptation that at the moment gives to turn us away. We love you, Lord God, and looking forward and being in the land that you promised us. And also, let us always have our eyes open that we may see wondrous things out below. This is our prayer and this precious word. Amen.
Amen. We indeed love the Lord our God. So Sabbath greetings, one and all. We're in chapter 27 of our study book, Patriarchs and Prophets. The Law Given to Israel. And you can find this study book on our website at lightministries.com/ID818.htm. And we left off right in the middle of the first paragraph of page 309 that starts out, both public and private sins are included in this prohibition of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. And the middle of the paragraph, the sentence that we'll begin tonight is, it demands strict integrity. So we were talking about the broadness of this eighth commandment. And we learned that it not only deals with physical stealing, like you steal money or possessions from someone else, but it goes into conquests of war. So if a neighboring country desires the land of another country, then they're breaking the eighth commandment to seek to obtain it through force. But it's more broad than this, and this is where we pick it up. It demands, or thou shalt not steal, it demands strict integrity in the minutest details of the affairs of life. It forbids overreaching in trade and requires the payment of just debts or wages. It declares that every attempt to advantage oneself by the ignorance, weakness, or misfortune of another is registered as fraud in the books of heaven. So thou shalt not steal deals with integrity. It deals with the individual choosing to do right because it is right. And so it doesn't matter if another person is ignorant that they could be stolen from. But this commandment forbids overreaching in trade, trying to get too much for the amount paid. This commandment also requires the payment of debts that are justly owed. It also requires the payments of wages to your workers that are justly owed to them. This commandment forbids taking advantage over others, whether because of their ignorance or because of their weakness or because of their misfortune. I remember when Katrina came through Louisiana and Alabama and those states there on the Gulf Coast, and the public water supply was contaminated because of that hurricane coming ashore and the surge and so on, that individuals began to sell bottled water at 4, 5, or 6 times the price. They were doing so in taking advantage of the misfortune of others. I've also heard of gas stations raising the price of gas when the hurricane came through New Jersey and New York a couple years back. They raised the prices tremendously for gas. They were taking advantage of the misfortune of their fellow New Jerseyans or New Yorkers. In doing so, they were breaking the 8th commandment. But it goes beyond just a financial advantage. If we envy individuals and we see that they have a particular influence or a particular popularity that we desire for ourselves, and they fall into some sin or some issue in which it can be twisted and they be made out to be the worst, vilest sinners. If you take advantage of this situation to put them down so that you look better in the eyes of other individuals, you have broken the 8th commandment by unjustly stealing from them their influence or popularity over others. So this commandment goes beyond just enriching yourself monetarily or in property. It also goes far deeper into the minutest details of the affairs of life. And may God forgive us for breaking this commandment in any area. And we were talking about last time giving tithes and offerings. But this commandment goes even deeper. And deals with our relationship to others.
Hi everyone, blessed Sabbath. Just checking, are you guys able to hear me? Okay, praise God. When we were younger, we were being home taught. We had a book, and it was called The Ten Commandments. And we were going through the study, and one of the things that we learned, especially when it's with this particular commandment, is that when it says thou shalt not steal, other than the actual stealing, you know, robbing, you know, taking something that doesn't belong to you, there's also two other things, stealing the glory, like something that you, somebody, like, okay, for example, when Moses struck the rock twice, he did not say that it was the Lord who did it. So when he struck the rock, it made the people think that it was him that was able to do it, and not that it was God that was doing it. And because of that point, and he did that in front of so many people, then they're going to start to think that all those things, all those huge miraculous things that the Lord had moved Moses to do this whole time, you know, helping them come out of Egypt and all those things, that it was actually Moses that was doing it and not God. And then, like, people are supposed to so easily forget that it's, you know, that it's the Lord that was there the whole time doing it. Because they're so used to seeing what they can see, what is in front of them. They don't realize that it was the Lord that was just using him to do it. The Bible says that, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And we're so used to seeing so many people who's done so many good things. And, you know, they say, well, look, I did this and look, I did that and I did this and I did that. But there are also people who's done really good stuff, a whole lot of good stuff, but they don't want people to know what they did or what they're doing. You know, they do it in secret because they don't feel like others have to know what they did. They do what needed to be done at that time. Whether they saw someone that needed help at that time and they did what they had to at that time, and then they just leave it. But the Lord takes all of this into account. And a lot of times the devil will come and cause large masses of people to turn around and put that person down. But nobody knows that that person had done great work, like did a lot of things. But they don't want all the praise and all the glory. The second thing about thou shalt not steal is one of the things is when you kill somebody's character, when someone who hasn't done anything to you, but because of jealousy, you don't like them, and you say all kinds of manner things against them falsely, that's killing another person's character. That's also considered stealing. Oh no, that's not like kill. Oops. Well, same thing. No, it's not. That's for thou shalt not kill. I'm sorry, but killing a person's character is thou shalt not kill. I'm so sorry. That was for that. But the first, initial thing, that was for thou shalt not steal. Do forgive me. Love you. Good night. God bless. And love you, Tani. Mwah, mwah.
Amen. And that's an excellent point. Moses, by taking glory to himself and not giving it to God, stole from God the glory that was due his name. And the point about character assassination, stealing from others their influence or their popularity or, you know, their ability to reach other individuals with the truth is also stealing from them their right. So even though it deals directly with thou shalt not kill, it also deals with thou shalt not steal. And so you can see that all these commandments are interwoven with each other to form one complete law. So even though there's 10 divisions to this law, they all combine together to make up one great law. And love is the foundation of this great law of God. So if you've broken one, thou shalt not kill, you've also broken the other 9. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. All of them you've broken. Now, Christ had a parable of a Samaritan that had been robbed by thieves. And they, in robbing him, they beat him up and left him half dead. And then there was 3 different individuals that happened to come across the path of this half-dead Samaritan. 2 of them went on the other side when they saw him. They didn't want to become involved. Did they break this 8th commandment? Did they steal in any way from this half-dead Samaritan? Any ideas? Okay, good comment. They robbed the man of his health. So if they would have stopped to help him, then he could have recovered from his injuries much sooner than he did. So by not helping him, they actually stole away his health. Amen. If he would have died, they would have stolen life away from him. So they didn't even touch him, and they could have been guilty of stealing. So, dear ones, this commandment is very broad and far-reaching. If we have the ability to help individuals, and we choose, for whatever reason, not to help them, then we have stolen away from them their welfare. Amen. We have not bore one another's burdens. So this is very solemn.
Hi, it's me again. For those of us who have the light and have the truth, I remember we read it somewhere in Ellen White. I can't tell you where, but I remember this in a Bible study I had as a child with my mom, that the people that you meet, it is the Lord that brings them to you because you have something that they need. And if you spend that time talking about things, you know, that is not good, not Christian-like, or spend that time, for example, gossiping or, you know, talking about things that doesn't have to do with God, you are robbing them of the chance to get to know Him. You're robbing them of the time and opportunities that you have to share the Word of God with them. And you will be held accountable. You will be held accountable for that life, for that soul. Because the precious hours of the Sabbath is supposed to be used for dedicating your time to the Lord, having that oneness with Him. Using that time to do otherwise is considered, it's like you are robbing, you know, that person of, and yourself, of the spiritual growth that is much needed. The Holy Spirit is no longer there. And like I mentioned, my Grandma Bernie, she was older and she couldn't really get around. So she said, I'm going to give the gospel to everybody that I meet. People who call her, the guys to fix her boiler, she was giving a gospel to them. The people for the phone service, I would see her sit for hours talking to them about the Bible. She would give the gospel to them. The taxi cab driver, the lady at the register, at the checkout place, at the supermarket, the mailman, everybody, people who even pass our house. She spent her entire life, any chance she had, any opportunity she had, to spread the good news, to give the word of God. And when there are so many people around, especially those of the youth whose minds are impressionable, you know, especially those that are coming around because they're drawn to you because you have the word of God and they are hungry. By gossiping and talking and stuff, you are no longer working on as an ambassador to Christ, but as an ambassador to Satan. Because you're so in tears amongst the weak. And those things is what chokes away the word of God. Ella White mentions this in her book, that when parents, you know, try to raise their children up in the right way, in the gospel, when they gossip, especially in front of their children, it robs, it chokes out the word of God and acts as weeds in the heart of the child. And when the child gets older and become young men and young women, they wonder why they go out to the world. Because something that people overlook as gossiping, they don't realize what it's doing to the soul. I just wanted to say that they're stealing opportunities for the Holy Spirit to work.
Amen. And very solemn thought. So this thou shalt not steal commandment is very broad. It goes into the minutest details of the affairs of life. And may God send the Holy Spirit to us to convict us of where we have broken this eighth commandment and the other commandments as well in any area, so that we may recognize it, repent of it, and then plead for grace and strength to overcome it. Are there any other thoughts or comments about the Eighth Commandment before we move on to the Ninth Commandment? And please go right ahead. Okay, the Ninth Commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. False speaking in any matter, every attempt or purpose to deceive our neighbor is here included. An intention to deceive is what constitutes falsehood. So what is falsehood? An intention to deceive. In other words, you purposely decide to do something or say something or in any way deceive another. Amen. A lie. You know what is truth, but you choose to state something that is not true. That is breaking the Ninth Commandment. Continuing. By a glance of the eye, a motion of the hand, an expression of the countenance, a falsehood may be told as effectually as by words. So here, we can lie without ever saying a word. Just by an expression. Some movement that we make. The glance of our eyes. We can intentionally mislead someone from the truth. That is lying to them. So thou shalt not bear false witness just doesn't mean using words to lead them away from the truth. It's any action. Now, let me bring up an issue here. What if you know the truth, and you know that someone is seeking for the truth, but you choose to remain silent? Okay, we can see that you've stolen away the truth from them by remaining silent. Have you also borne false witness? Has your actions, remaining silent is an action, has your actions led them away from the truth?
Is it like pretending that you don't know, or like you don't know the answer, or like you don't know what the truth is to that person? You know, like hiding your light under a bushel?
No, this was an example in which you know the truth and you know that another individual is seeking for the truth. And you choose to remain silent and not give them the truth. Have you broken the Ninth Commandment? Have you bore false witness against thy neighbor? So, dear ones, I hope you can understand that God reads our hearts. He knows our intentions. He knows every attempt or purpose that we do whether we say anything, whether we write anything, whether we do anything, whether we act or don't act, God reads the purpose of our hearts. And if in any way it is to deceive our neighbor or to keep the truth from them, which is keeping them in deception, then we've broken the ninth commandment. We've broken the eighth commandment. We've stolen from them the truth. Now, this is dealing with our intentions. If it's our attempt to deceive, then we're breaking the ninth commandment, no matter how that deception is carried out. Amen. We should be humbled by this realization. And it shows us that we just can't go on continuing to live without examining our hearts. What is our motives? What is our intentions? How does these inmost details of life compare with God's word of truth? This means we have to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith or not, and not just take it for granted that we are. There are some individuals that feel that it is okay to give free rein to their emotions because they feel like it. And because they have that emotion, well, then they're free to exercise that emotion and to let it flow. And they call themselves Christians without taking the time to examine whether they're manifestation of these emotions are proper or improper according to God's word. Dear ones, we need to be careful what we say, how we act, what we write, because we could be breaking God's word, his law, his commandments in many areas, and yet think that we're still walking that straight and narrow path to the city of God. So just by a glance of the eye, someone speaks the truth that's cutting, and someone looks at you at how you're going to react to it, and you roll your eyes like, oh my, not again. That has misled them away from the cutting truth that was spoken just by your eyes. So by a glance of the eye, a motion of the hand, an expression on our face, we can be guilty of leading someone into falsehood. Continuing. All intentional overstatement. What does that mean? Intentional overstatement. That means, for example, if through missionary work you had 10 individuals come to hear your meetings, but in relating that story to others, you intentionally overstate the 10 that were there to be 50. That is bearing false witness. Now, this is intentional overstatement. Sometimes you're relating a story and you forget the facts and it ends up being embellished a little bit. That's unintentional. You don't remember the facts and thus you overstated by mistake. That's different. But here we're dealing with intentional overstatements. So all intentional overstatements, continuing, every hint or insinuation calculated to convey an erroneous or exaggerated impression, even the statement of facts in such a manner as to mislead, is falsehood. So you can even declare the truth in such a way as to mislead individuals. Dear ones, that's scary. But the devil is good at it. When Satan was tempting Christ in the wilderness, he told Christ, you know, just jump off this pinnacle, because it's written that God will send his angels to protect you and to bear you up in their hands, lest you stub your toe. The devil quoted scripture to that effect. But the devil left out the most important part of that text. God will keep you in all thy ways. Thy referring to God. So as long as Christ was walking in all the ways of God, God would protect him. But the devil didn't lie in the words he used. He lied by leaving out some of the words and making it appear to lead Christ astray. So even the statement of facts in such a manner as to mislead, which is what Satan did, was breaking the ninth commandment. He was bearing false witness to Christ. He was trying to get him, or Christ, to voluntarily jump off the pinnacle, believing that his Father would protect him from all harm because the scripture says that God would do so. But dear ones, God could not have protected Christ if Christ would have done that. Because Christ would no longer be walking in all the ways of his Father. But now he would be intentionally forcing God to save him from an action of Christ's own choice. And the Father could not have done it. This is similar to the devil telling individuals that you have to go within a church of Babylon in order to witness to the people of Babylon there the truth. Basically the same principle that the devil was bringing to Christ. You have to throw yourself off because the scripture says God will protect you. And these individuals believe that it is God's will that they go back into Babylon, that they know error is going to be preached, so that they can try and witness the truth to people there. In other words, God would protect them from the error that's spoken by their intentional going in amidst the darkness and error. But we're clearly told in early writings, 124 and 5, that if you choose to go into places, churches, that error is going to be spoken, and God doesn't lead you to do so, then He cannot protect you because you're presuming God will protect you in your intentional actions that puts you at risk of harm. So, dear ones, this ninth commandment is even more far-reaching than what we assumed it was. A lot of times we look just at the surface. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Okay, I'm not going to lie to my neighbors. But it goes so much deeper than that. Continuing. This precept forbids every effort to injure our neighbor's reputation by misrepresentation or evil surmising, by slander or tale bearing.
Hello, everyone. Happy Sabbath. I think that evil surmising is thinking that you know what someone's motive is or what their intention or their thoughts were, assuming that you do, when you really don't. And then you're kind of acting or thinking in a way about a person and you really don't know why they did or said something. And so you're evil surmising motive or intent, I believe. At least that's part of it, I think.
Okay, all right. That is correct. But the key here is the term evil surmising. So you can surmise why an individual did or said a certain thing. But if in your surmising you view it as evil, then that is where you're injuring your neighbor's reputation in your mind. So, let's say an individual, Joe. Let's say Joe makes a statement, and this statement is overheard by another individual, and they begin to wonder why Joe said what he did. And if they believe that he said what he did because he had a vendetta against another individual, that is evil surmising. Surmising is you don't have the facts. You don't know. You're just guessing. And some individuals have trained themselves in this surmising, believing that they have the mental ability to read the intentions of another person's heart or motive, as you mentioned, your sister. And they believe it's like a gift that God has given them to surmise or to guess at what another individual's intention was in what he said or what he did or what she said or did. But if they surmise on the negative, then they're guilty of evil surmising. Now, love thinketh no ill to his neighbor. So, if you're wondering why someone said or did something, then out of love, you would give them a positive guess on what they did. They had the best intentions. What they said or what they did was with the best motives. And then it's not evil surmising, because you're thinking the best of them. And you do so out of love. Love thinketh no ill. Love believeth all things. Yeah, a vendetta is like revenge. Someone, say for instance, Joe said something about Sister A. And word got back to Sister A about what Joe said. And so Sister A is thinking, well, why would Brother Joe say that about me? I wonder if I've done something to make him upset. Perhaps he's mad at me. That's evil surmising. Now, God has rules that has been laid down in how to handle issues that come up because of surmising. Brother Joe said something, and it was overheard by an individual. They're wondering, why did he say that? Instead of going into surmising why he may have said that, that individual needs to go to Brother Joe and say, hey, I overheard you say this. Could you please tell me why you said that or why you did that? That takes all the guesswork out. Thus, there's no temptation to evil surmise, because you've gone directly to the source. Now, in the situation where Sister A was told by another what Brother Joe had said, then Sister A, to avoid the temptation to evil surmise, needs to go to Brother Joe and say, hey, I was told that you said this about me. Could you please inform me if this is true? And if so, why would you say that? That takes all the guesswork out. Thus, there is no evil surmising taking place, and thus no breaking of the ninth commandment. So out of love, we must think the best of others, not the worst, but the best, because love worketh no ill to his neighbor, especially brothers and sisters in the faith. Now, slander is taking the reputation of someone and tearing it down by saying negative things about them to others. Talebearing is similar to slander, but it's taking an instance, a tale, and spreading it far and wide, bearing it to others. And the tale doesn't necessarily reside in the truth. It is something that has been told. It's a tale that has been told, and you now are just taking that tale and telling it to others, spreading it around. So if someone comes to you with a tale about another individual, before you believe it, you need to check the facts. And there's even a command in God's inspired word that if someone comes to you with a tale about another, you need to first ask them if they've gone to the individual themselves to know that this tale is 100% factual truth. And if they say no, that they haven't, then you're to refuse to listen to another word that they have about this individual.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. I was just thinking, as we have been going through the Ten Commandments, how each of them stands by their self, but also, I'm going to use the word like intertwine. They're all one. Because as we're talking and we're going about, you know, the vendetta, about the killing and like the character, and it also just ties into like, thou shalt not kill, you know, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not, you know, a lot of what we were saying just tied together, and it just shows you about the oneness of our Godhead. Everything that is of God shows the oneness of our Godhead, and that's just what I wanted to say.
Amen. I remember at the college, there was this one man who said something to me. He was really kind and, you know, he was a friend. But he said something to me, you know. Right before he said it, like a person, you know, came and said, was, you know, spoke to me in a harsh manner. And I was bothered by it, but I didn't know why. But he said something. He said, you know what? Actually, it wasn't to me. It was to him. Sorry. I was like, wow, that wasn't nice. You know, but he said, you know what? I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You know? I give them the benefit of the doubt. Before I presume something is, you know, like that, I, you know, try to, you know, in other words, he tries to see in a more positive way. And by him saying that, that stuck to me. But that being said, the example that I have for the question that was given is, when Christ was here on earth, and he was talking with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, whose goal was to not only try to trip him up with his words so they could find anything so they can talk about him to all these people so others wouldn't like him anymore. They were trying to make him look bad in front of people. When he said, the benefit of the doubt, it means, it's like, if you see somebody, they do something, you don't automatically assume that they're doing it with ill intentions. You know, you would think maybe they had a reason why they did that particular thing or said that particular comment. You know, that's what giving another person the benefit of the doubt means. But going back to, no problem, Mom. going back to what Christ, you know, what the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing, mind you, they have the gospel, they have the word of God, they have the light, but they were so blind by their own pride and their own, you know, evil, you know, their own plotting, you know, their hearts, their dark hearts, that they couldn't see that Christ was right there. And even after he passed them by, they couldn't see it. But when they was talking to him and saying whatever, and the Lord told them, I shall tear this temple down, and in 3 days, it shall build it up again. They used those words that they completely did not understand what he was talking about. They used those words to try to condemn him. They used those words to actually condemn him to death without giving him the benefit of the doubt. But those words, when they did their secret trial and condemned him to death, this is what happened. Now, I have a testimony to share, and then, you know, and then that's it, I'm finished. At work, they moved me to a different area just to help out. I don't normally work in that area, but for 2 weeks, I was helping out to fill in, to work in a different area, and when I start working, you know, there was this other person that I knew. He was really kind and sharing his stuff. But for some reason, he didn't like the manager. And he kept talking bad about her, saying that. He said, nobody likes her. All these things. And I'm like, oh boy. You know, I need him to help train me. But I kind of like tuned out when he's talking about, you know, that person, because I don't know the situation. I don't want to get into anything. And I know about the issues with gossiping. So he was saying, and, you know, that person said that we're not allowed to use our phones and stuff and things like that. But then when you see her, she has her phone and all this stuff. And, you know, she uses her phone and plays music. But nobody can say anything to her. But with us, we are not allowed to use it, and I don't know why. So I stayed out of it. So what happened was, I didn't even, you know, pay attention, because that person was nice to me, you know. So I didn't listen to what he had to say about her. But I was just curious. And when I asked the person, you know, when you say, you know, we can't use the phone, you know, how come, you know, you're allowed to use the phone? And then when you hear her answer why, she said because the head company they need to be in contact with me all the time. And when they call me, they need to call me directly because I'm always moving hither and there. I have to have my phone on me. And this is the reason why. You know? Now, if I would have came in a situation and I would have listened to what the other person had to say, and I would have been like, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, so now we don't like this person because such and such and such a thing. And you know what this person said and that person said, and I would have gotten caught up and all of these things. And where would I be representing Christ? How am I supposed to be talking about the gospel? How can I, do you understand what I mean? There's all these people talking bad about this one person, but none of them asked that one person. So when you find it, you see, it's like the Lord was just showing me, and I was just curious to know because I wanted to understand the characters and to understand what was going on. Not in that particular situation, like getting into everybody's business, but I mean, understand how when people sit and they gossip and they talk about this person, is nothing like what they think. And when you actually ask that person has a legitimate reason why. And then she was feeling a little bit, you know, I guess, you know, it's just more meek about it, you know? So here's the thing. I just came to this conclusion. Gossiping and evil surmising and, what was the other thing that Brother Bob said? Slandering are all different barriers that the devil used to prevent the opportunity for the gospel to be spread. Once you don't like a person for whatever reason, that person that you don't like may have something that you need. And the devil knows that. So he's going to do everything in his power to slander that person's name. So nobody will want to deal with them. And nobody will want to be around them. And then they're going to say, oh, nobody likes that person. Oh, nobody, who cares about her? You know, nobody wants to deal with that person. But that person has so much information that can actually help all those individuals. And it's mentioned when you go and you read in Matthew, and when Matthew chapter 5, at the Beatitudes, I repeat this when I have to deal with slander, when I have to deal with all those things. I remember when Christ said, blessed are they when men shall revile you and say all manners of things against you falsely for righteousness sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. This is what I say to my heart, say to myself, recite, anytime I have to deal with it. And I have to deal with it every day. And I have to deal with it all the time. It may not be this group of people, but it's this other group of people or this. And it's a barrier because he knows my heart. I want to share the gospel. I want to, but I don't know how. And it's a hesitation for me because it makes a barrier. It makes me feel, okay, now that person's not going to want to hear the gospel from me. So now how am I going to reach that person? Because it's what you call PR is the power of rumor. It's what they use in major wars that's going on in these and in different countries. The power of rumor. Gossiping is so much bigger than people would say. Because of gossip, a whole bunch of Jews were annihilated because they were shown on television, oh, they're rats or they're no good and you know, you don't want a Jew to touch you, and you don't want this and that. And then all of a sudden, the people that used to live together, the Jews and the Germans, then the Germans started to hate the Jews. And it's all because of a mindset. Because they sowed seeds of tears that caused that person to have an enmity between that person and the other person. So that you won't want to deal with that person. And that person may have just what God wants to give you to save your life. And your life could be going through turmoil. And the devil knows that if you had a connection with that person, then that person will lead you to God. So when you see that there's a lot of hearsay about this particular person, that particular person, inquire of that person. Get to know that person, because all those things that are saying, stop and think, if that person was actually not living the right life and not doing right, would the devil even want to start enmity between you and that person? No. He's attacking that person. That's what he's doing. And you are bearing witness to all the things that were being said about that person. Because has the angel of the Lord opened the book of remembrance and the Lord was to show you the life of that person, your heart will break if you would know that the whole time that person was doing the right thing, and that by joining into the hearsay, you're just like those people on the outside of the ark, making fun of Noah for building that ark to save their own lives.
Bob, you were speaking of gossip, and that reminded me of a statement by Ellen White in Manuscript Release, Volume 5. I hope I'm not stealing your thunder. If anyone comes to you and begins to tell you of the faults of another, if you cannot stop that voice in any other way, lift up your voice and sing the doxology. That's Volume 5, Manuscript Release, page 7. And the doxology goes like this. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, that would tend to distract possibly the gossiper if you were to break forth in song like that. That's all I have.
Amen. I don't think I've read that statement before, dear brother, so you weren't stealing any thunder. You had your own thunder. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful, and that's good counsel, too. If someone comes to you with reports about another and you ask them, have you gone to that individual that you're talking about? And ask them these things, and if they say no, then say that you don't want to hear anymore. If they continue talking to you about it and you can't get them to stop, then indeed start singing praises to God. You know, there's a passage in Desire of Ages where it says that Christ's brothers came to him when Christ was working at the carpenter's trade. And they tried to get him upset so that he would become impatient or distracted and thus, you know, make an error in his work and so on. So when they came to Christ tempting him to get upset or impatient, he started singing scripture songs. And pretty soon they joined in with him in singing the songs. And they completely forgot what their intention was. And they were led into praising God. So that is a very good way to stop the efforts of the devil right in his tracks. So, indeed.
Yesterday we were up in Fort Smith doing some a little shopping since we've been home, and I wanted to go into the store Hobby Lobby. Hadn't been there for a while, and I'm walking around and I wasn't really paying attention to what was coming over the loudspeaker. I'm used to being in stores where the music that comes over that permeates the whole store, I usually just ignore it. All of a sudden I found myself humming along, and it was a very nice slow piano rendition with some organ of Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, and they were playing religious music over the whole store. I have never been in any public store where they did that, but Hobby Lobby has stood up for some things about their religion, but that really amazed me. It's the first time that I remember being in Hobby Lobby where they had been playing religious music over the loudspeaker.
Amen. Well, we got just one sentence to go here in this paragraph of the ninth commandment before we get to the ten. the tenth commandment. So let me read this last sentence and then give you an example. Even the intentional suppression of truth by which injury may result to others is a violation of the ninth commandment. Now, we mentioned what Lucifer did was leaving out that one passage of the text he was quoting to try and bring injury to Christ by encouraging him to jump off to prove God's statement true, that the angels would bear him up. So we see that that applies here, but I have another event to show this true. And this is a true story. There was a pastor that was a Sabbath keeper, and he lived in a small town, and news had come to him about a poor widow that was on her last bit of wood for her fire, and once that was gone, then she would be in the cold, and it was wintertime. So the pastor decided, this news came to him a late Friday evening, so the pastor decided that first thing Sabbath morning, he's going to get up, he's going to load about a quarter cord of wood in his pickup truck, and he's going to deliver it to the lady. He's going to unload it, store it, and then build her a nice fire, and then still have time to get back home, clean up, and make it to church. So he did so, but individuals that were part of his congregation happened to look out the window and see him get up early, load his truck with wood, and go and deliver it. Other individuals saw the pastor unloading the wood, stacking it up, and then they saw him leave, okay? So these individuals then go to church and they say, "Ooh, you know what I saw the pastor doing this morning?" And then the other individuals that saw him unload the wood and stack it, "Yeah, I saw him unload the wood. I saw him stack it. Man, he's breaking the Sabbath. Look at what he's done. Couldn't he have waited until Sunday morning? Why did he have to do it on the Sabbath?" And perhaps he got paid for it. And pretty soon, yeah, you know, he got paid to deliver wood, and he couldn't do it before Friday. And so then he decided to do it on the Sabbath. So he's broken the Sabbath. All of this is now spreading throughout the church. That's evil surmising. That's not giving the pastor the benefit of the doubt. That is not thinking the best of his intentions, but the worst of his intentions. So let's now say, and this was, I don't know if this was part of the story, but let's say that the pastor told the elder of his church that he was going to be delivering wood to this sister, and the elder said, okay. So let's now say that the elder becomes aware of all of these evil surmising stories passing throughout the congregation. But the elder, who knows the truth of the situation, remains silent. So now, because of the intentional suppression of the truth, this elder, even though he never said a word, is guilty of bearing false witness against the pastor. Okay, so the end of the story is the pastor gets to church, he notices the, you know, the turmoil going on among the members, and he sets them straight by relaying exactly what his intentions were and the situation that needed to be taken care of at that time, or this widow was going to freeze. And imagine the congregation realizing that all of their guessing and judging of motives made them guilty of breaking the ninth commandment. So, dear ones, we must think the best of one another, not the worst. And when the thought comes to you, why did someone do that? Or why did so-and-so say that? Let us stop dead in our tracks by going into guessing and imagination and thinking of all the reasons why they could have done it. And if we can't just let it go, then go to that person personally and ask them why. That way we don't allow the devil to use us as his agent to think evil of others and then to spread evil to others. And this is my prayer. Amen. Charity thinketh no evil. Amen. Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions? Any other testimonies? Any other songs? Please feel free, dear ones.
I would like to share a compliment here. And one moment. Oh, I thought I heard my mom calling. And anywho, speaking of which, she once told me about one of the biggest lies, and it's what the adult folks tell. Though, believe it or not, she told me about what it takes to be a parent. She told me she would never lie to me, but the parents of today, they are just doing that. They're bearing false witness against their children. And they, believe it or not, the parents tell their children that it's not good to lie to people, but I ask myself, since the parents tell their children it's not good to lie, why do they lie to them? They often told old stories that would never happen. Let's say these mythic characters, so like Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, or the Easter Bunny. None of those guys ever existed. There's no old, or like Mother Goose also, good point there. There's no old man that lives in the North Pole, though reindeer can't fly, and plus there aren't any elves to help them build toy stores. Or deliver toys to the world. There are already toys e-stores that are already giving toys already today. There's no little or one woman with butterfly wings coming in at night stealing their tooth and giving them money under their pillows. It was actually them too. The parents were the ones who took the tooth and gave them the money. And they were even the ones, while the children were sleeping, they left them at the house, got them the gifts that they ever wanted. And there wasn't even no rabbit hopping in the garden or in the park or anywhere else, those dropping eggs full of candy. The people or even strangers were doing that too. So, like Mom said, during these last days, that even
when parents are introduced something wrong to their children, they may have given them love, but they were given them, but some today are telling them a big lie also. Well, I don't choose to lie at any people. Although when I was young, I didn't know what it was us back then, even though I did a few times. But over the years, I started to learn what lying is, what bearing falsehood is, and I may happen to never do it again, and no one should do it.
I wanted to, if you don't mind, in light of the conversation, the lesson tonight about charity, about love, about evil surmising, things that are not love and things that are love, and our elder mentioned if there were any songs, I wondered if I could sing again that song, 1 Corinthians 13, that I sang a few weeks ago, this scripture about charity. But before that, I'd like to just say that in Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And so when I sing, I don't have the best voice, and I'm not trying to. I'm just wanting to lift up the word of God and truth. And I hope that we'll all feel that way and that we won't applaud one another for singing, because all of our hearts should be lifted towards the Lord. We're singing to Jesus, and any applause should be to Jesus Christ and to Him alone. Let's not let our voices become a stumbling block to praising God. So I would hope that we could all just meditate on these words about charity. And I asked the Lord to give me a melody for this because I needed more charity, and I still do. So God helping me. Charity, charity, charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Charity beareth all things. Charity believeth all things. Charity hopeth all things. Charity endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." Amen, and may the Lord help us all to strive after the charity that He's looking for in our hearts. In Jesus' name.
My brethren, blessings. Me and Janelle are going to try to sing Worship the King.
Oh, worship the King, oh, glorious above, great moving sing, that is wonder done. Our ship and defender, come nation the King, oh,
and
King's high. Praise Him, be head in giant and dynamite. The stream from the hills is descend from the rain. Sweet he fills and gathers all that rain. Children of dust and evil and pain, and evil be cast nor body to fail. Thy mercies are tender, though dark will be end. Our Maker he bendeth with anger and
I too like to share a scripture song. It is called Broad is the Road That Leads to Death. Broad is the road that leads to death, and thousands walk together there. But wisdom shows a narrow path. Let the here and there a traveler deny thyself and take thy cross is the Redeemer's great command. Nature must count her gold but dross if she would gain this heaven. The fearful soul that tires and faints and walks the way of God no more is but esteemed almost a saint, and makes his own destruction sure.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Hugs and love. I have a testimony, and it's been a really hectic week, but praise the Lord, he's been there every step of the way. My brother's vehicle, his radiator, was shot, and ironically, he had come over to the house, and I saw a smoke coming out of it, or what, steam or smoke, and he had no idea that the radiator was as bad as he thought it was. And in the meantime, he didn't have a lot of money, and he thought it was going to cost a fortune to have it fixed, plus the maintenance of the vehicle. And unfortunately, my brother's not a Christian, and I mean, I can't say what he does and he doesn't do, but if you speak about God, he gets really agitated and aggravated. But nevertheless, to say, I pray for him, and I ask the Lord to please help this situation out. And as always, God, you know, lends his ear to my prayers, and I praise his name for that. I come to find out that there was a couple of guys at his work. One man is a mechanic, and he happened to have a couple of older radiators for the same type of vehicle from a junkyard or something. I'm not sure where. But in the meantime, nevertheless to say, they called my brother up and said that they could get this radiator for a couple of pennies, and that they could put it in for him and not charge him anything. And if there was any money required, that they would pay it up front for him and he could always pay them later on. And God is good. It just hurts my heart to know that my brother wouldn't turn around and say, thank you, God, for helping me like this. But it's not for me to judge. But I thank God for him. And I wanted to let God know that I am thanking him for it. And in the meantime, basically, whether you have a loved one or not in the faith, or unfortunately not in the faith, you know, God listens to our prayers. And I'm a true believer of it. I'm living proof of it. And there's no one that can tell me that God doesn't incline his ears to our prayers. And with that said, I wish everybody a blessed Sabbath and a peaceful night. Hugs and love to all.
Amen. And thank you, sister, for giving praise to God in behalf of your brother. I've never heard of that being done, but I like the idea. So praise God indeed.
While listening and contemplating on this study, you know, while listening to the beautiful music, I was reminded of something that I had been witness to, some testimony a long time ago, way before I even got to meet Brother Dad in person. I knew I met a man and a woman who came for a camp meeting in North Carolina. His name was Gary Wiedermeyer, and he came and he was sharing the gospel and the word of God. But something was wrong. He wasn't well. And while he was there doing the work of the Lord, there was someone who was seeing stuff about him, and making accusations and stuff like that. And he was saying, how can, he be sick or whatever. And it turned out later that he had cancer. Mr. Wiedermeyer. And the other person, he would say stuff, and my mom would say, that's not right, you shouldn't, say those things. So, how it turned out later, Mr. Wiedermeyer, ended up passing away. But a few years later, that person ended up with cancer. And let's just call him C. I don't know. So he ended up having cancer, and he needed help, and he was asking his sister to help him. But his sister, she didn't want to help him, and she was making, those same accusations against him of what he did against Mr. Wiedermeyer years before. And so it was his sister saying that about him. And what happened is he ended up dying of cancer. But before he did, he did ask forgiveness or whatever, but the consequences is he ended up dying of cancer. But the very next year, his sister had cancer. And the line kept going. And she was, there were two people who she requested, she wanted to see them on her deathbed. And they would not come to see her. They would not, come to, see if she's okay or how she was doing or, while she was in the hospital. And she ended up dying of cancer. And my thing is that if people really knew cancer is a sin, is what happens, when you are disobedient and you rebel against the ways of the Lord, it spread just like that. It's like sin spreads. It carries on that, you know, talking about, it's, I know I said it already, it's sowing seeds, but it spreads, and there's a spirit that comes with it. And I saw his connection with that and the actual disease of cancer and how it moved from person to person. Because what that one person did to another person did to that person, another person did to that person, and so on. And I remember the story of with Elisha. When there's a man of God giving the word of God and the boys were talking, you know, being disrespectful and saying all kinds of stuff about him, saying, go up that bald head, go up. And then the bears came up and ate them. It just keeps sin, it just keeps spreading, you know? And it's, I don't know how else to say it. It was just, it just popped into my mind what I remember.
That reminds me of Gehazi and Naaman, where Naaman had come to Elisha he came to the king of Israel for healing. And the king didn't know what to do, so he sent him to Elisha. And Elisha told him to go and bathe in the Jordan. And Naaman eventually did so, but came back and wanted to pay Elisha for the healing. He was so grateful, he wanted to give a donation to him. And Elisha said, no, just praise God. But Gehazi said, wow, you know, I could really use some of that gold and change of garments and so on. And so Gehazi went and tricked Naaman into giving him some of the material, believing that it was for a group of individuals coming that needed support. So Naaman gave it to Gehazi. Gehazi brought it back and tried to keep it secret from Elisha. But he ended up getting the leprosy that God had miraculously healed Naaman of. So it is not far-fetched to believe that because of our sins that we can become sick with serious illnesses. But it's also not correct to believe that all disease is because of some sin that we have done. So without God's protection over us because of our choice to sin, we can become sick. But we also, if God sees that our character needs to have greater lessons learned. God can allow sickness to come to us, not because of our sins, but because we need to learn greater lessons of faith and dependence and trust. So not all sickness is because of our sins, but some sickness and illness can be because of our sins. Now it's interesting. Elijah was taken to heaven without seeing death, but Elisha had twice the spirit of Elijah, but yet Elisha was sick and died in his sickness. Now, Elisha had not committed any sin that warrant his sickness. But he had twice the spirit of Elijah, and Elijah was translated without seeing death, but Elisha died. So not all sickness is because of sin. Some of it God allows to come to us so that we may place our dependence, hope, and trust in Him and endure through the affliction. Question in the room, why did Elisha die? Well, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I just know that it was for Elisha's well-being, salvation well-being, but it was also an example to us that even though we may be greatly used by God, that doesn't mean that we can be translated without seeing death. So whether we live or whether we die, we are to rejoice in the fact that we are serving our loving Father. And our loving, self-sacrificing Savior. That's what we're to glory in. So whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. And that's something to be grateful and to rejoice about. You know, Paul was one of the greatest evangelists of the New Testament, and yet he saw death. He died at the hand of the Romans. The beloved John, the disciple that was closest to Christ, he didn't die at the hand of any man. He died of old age. So, dear ones, whether we live or die, whether the end of our life is in sickness or in health, let us rejoice that we are serving the Lord our God. So if sickness comes to you, by all means, examine your life to see if you are breaking any of the eight laws of health. If there's some sin in your life that you're cherishing and not giving it up, make sure that your life is right with God. And then trust Him. Amen. God is our great physician. He can heal all manner of disease. And He can heal all manner of sin. You know, the blind man that Christ healed, he had been born blind. And the Jews thought, well, it's because surely he's a great sinner, or this affliction would not have come to him. But Christ said, no, he didn't sin, and neither did his parents sin. That's not the reason he was born blind. The reason is so that the glory of God could be manifested. That blindness to the man forced him to depend upon a higher power for daily help. It forced him to depend upon God for his daily help. And then when Christ healed him of his blindness, that was for the greater glory of God. So, bodily affliction or sickness or handicaps are not because we have sinned or our parents have sinned. It can be, but it's not always the case. So if we are sick and we cannot see anything in which we are breaking the eight laws of health, amen. Same situation with Job. The boils all over his body. It wasn't because of his own sins. Let us make sure that our lives are right with God and then trust Him implicitly with our health. And whether we live or die, let us rejoice that we are the Lord's. Well, dear ones, I want to thank one and all for coming this evening. Thank you so much for your participation. Praise God for allowing us to have the words of inspiration to see the far-reaching broadness of the law of God. And I pray that we will take the things that we have learned and study them for ourselves and indeed come up ever higher in bringing our lives into compliance with every aspect of God's Word. So we look forward to fellowshipping with you again in just a few hours from now. And let us go ahead and close with prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness and tender love. Thank you for winking at the time of our ignorance, but are now allowing the truth to go forth to wake us up. Please forgive us for breaking any aspect of your law. Forgive us for stealing, bearing false witness, for breaking any aspect, even in the smallest iota, and not revealing true love to thee and to our neighbors, our fellow brothers and sisters. Please help us to come up in each area. Help us indeed to follow thy will, that we may be children of the Most High and not children of the wicked one. Thank you that we're a day closer to heaven. And please, Father, help us to get ready for the soon coming of our Savior. And Father, please also be with the 3-week crusade that's going to be taking place in Zambia. Please prepare hearts for the truth. Protect all of those whom you are drawing to this meeting and protect the speakers. And please use them mightily in bringing forth the word of life to those hungering and thirsting for salvation. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Brother Dad, I have I want to ask, I have a favor to ask you and all those in the room. I would like to ask you guys about a woman named Cookie. If you can pray for her, there's an issue where I know I've been trying to reach her and share the word of God with her, but there's a barrier that is blocking, and I know everyone's, you know, ready to go, but I just want to know if you guys could keep her in prayer. We know the times that we live in, and while this is a very controversial topic, the topic on race, it's an issue, whereas for her to actually accept the Bible, I don't think she's ever read the Bible. She was actually taught, I'm going to use her words, it was said to her that the Bible is a white man's book and that she doesn't need to learn it. And with the racial issues, and especially with the fact that my husband is white, she feels like I'm not going to understand where she's coming from. And I've been praying for her, and I haven't been able to get, you know, to really get a chance to show her what's actually in the book. So, I'm sorry if you can hear him snoring. He's really, really tired. He worked today. But, yeah, there's a barrier concerning, especially when it comes to race, that it's hard to share the word of God. I know many times, like, when you pray, I remember in a lot of, you know, your videos, you pray that to let the heart not have any prejudice in the heart, you know, or anything that will keep them from getting the word of God. So I'm asking that if you guys can pray for her. I wanted to tell you guys this before, but I guess I was a little bit ashamed too, but it is what it is. And I need a lot of prayer. I don't know how to reach her. She's much older than I am. So, please. Okay.
Amen. We'll do so. In fact, let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will send your Holy Spirit in a powerful way to this dear lady, that you will allow the truth to cause curiosity and interest in her heart, that she will want to know the answer to her questions and avoid allowing prejudice to prevent her from moving forward in understanding the truth. And Father, we pray that you will break through the barrier of prejudice in all hearts, so that the truth as it is in Jesus may become uplifted and shine and begin to dispel darkness. And let them love the light of truth more than the prejudice or the evil surmisings that they have heard against the messengers or against the truth itself. Thank you for being the Almighty. Thank you, Father, that your grace and power can indeed work wonders in hearts. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for accomplishing that work according to thy perfect will. Amen. So, amen. Amen. I've got her on the prayer list, and I believe you said her name is Cookie. If so, then I got her name down correctly. Okay, all right. And she's on the prayer list and will indeed be mentioned again. So, dear ones, may God bless. Have a good night's sleep. And those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath day. And we indeed look forward to fellowshipping with you again and having you part of us in unity and oneness as we raise our voices in praising God and digging into his word of inspiration. So keep looking up, dear ones, and I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalms 139:23 and 24.